Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, Pirkei Avos Learning, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. This is Reb T here reminding you that all previous seasons and episodes are available at anchor.fm/Reb T. We have a couple of weeks left here. We're almost done with Chapter 5. Here in Pirkei Avos, and then there's just a couple of Mishnahs in Chapter 6, like 11 of them or so. And we'll take our summer hiatus, God willing, and we'll come back next season, the beginning of the school year, God willing, Blineder, with a new commentary, new sagely advice from the great sage, the great commentator, coming up for the coming season. So let's continue in 519. Hey, Yutes, talking about three fundamental traits that differentiates students of Avram versus students of Bilam. Interesting that Avram was put against Bilam. We'll see hopefully why this is so. Kol mi sheyesh biyado shalosha devarim halalu. Anyone who has in his hand the following three things, mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu, is counted among the students of our patriarch Avram. Avram is known as the fundamental pillar of chesed, fantastic person to emulate. Ushlosha devarim acherim, and three other things. Mitalmidav shel Bilam Arasha is counted among the students of the evil Bilam. Ayin tova v'ruach nemucha v'nefesh v'shefala. One who has a good eye, a humble spirit, and a reserved nature. Mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu is counted among the students of Avram Avinu. So you would think that if someone is someone who's a fundamental chesed person, that is from Avram. But it doesn't say that it's someone who's generous, because generosity is fundamental to chesed, and humble as well as a reserved nature can also be linked to that, maybe. Ein ra'a v'ruach gavoa v'nefesh rechava, a haughty spirit. Anyone who has an evil eye, a haughty spirit, and an indulgent nature, mitalmidav shel Bilam Arasha, is counted among the students of the evil Bilam. I always wondered why the Mishnah goes on to say what's the difference between the two. We just listed what the difference was, so we'll see. Ma ben talmidav shel Avram Avinu l'talmidav shel Bilam Arasha. What's the difference between the students of Avraham, the students of our patriarch Avram, and the students of the evil Bilam? Talmidav shel Avram Avinu ochlem ba'olam hazeh v'nochlem ba'olam haba. The students of our patriarch Avram eat in this world, inherit in the next world. Shenemar, as it says, Lahanchil ohave yesh ve'otzro sehem amalei. As it says, I, the Torah, have what to bequeath to those who love me, and I shall fill their storehouses. Aval tamidav shel Bilam Arasha, but students of the evil Bilam, Yorshin Gehenim v'yordim l'v'er shachas, they inherit Gehenim and descend to the well of destruction. Shenemar, as it says, V'ata Elohim l'toridim l'v'er shachas, anshe damam omirma lo yachatsu miyameyam v'ani evtar bach. It says, and you, O God, you will lower them into the well of destruction. Men of bloodshed and deceit shall not live out half their days, but as for me, I will trust in you. So we see that there is a fundamental difference between students of Avram and students of Bilam Arasha, and let's see in the commentary what else we could glean from this Mishnah. So basically, the Tanna introduces the topic with the declaration that three good traits is a student of Avram, and three bad traits is a student of Bilam. Anyone who models the behavior after someone else and follows in their footsteps is said to be their student. Once the Tanna elected to use the analogy of students and teachers, the more appropriate choice for the role model of the positive traits should have been not Avram, but Moshe, as we mentioned earlier. Hence, his Torah has taught a Moshe Rabbeinu. However, to be a student of Moshe, one must follow all of his teachings, the entire Torah, a task and privilege restricted to Jews. Avram, though, taught the way of God to all mankind by choosing him as the teacher. That begishon of our mission is thereby brought in to include non-Jews as well. They too, by following Avram's example, can merit to be counted among students. The counter-example to Avram is Bilam. We're taught that his intellectual prowess was on par with that of Achitophel, sage, counselor, and teacher of King David, whom Scripture talks about, and that his powers of prophecy paralleled those of Moshe. Even so, see Sefer Deuteronomy and Tiferet Yisrael. Even so, these exemplary virtues were of no redeeming value for the wicked Bilam. This is a testament to the incontrovertible wickedness of anyone who possesses the three evil traits about to be described. So a good eye. This is someone who is content with his financial circumstances and does not desire to benefit from the wealth of others. Avram exhibited such restraint following his defeat of the four kings. He refused to accept any of the spoils of war, informing the king of Sodom that he would not take so much as a thread to a shoe strap from him. Pointed out by Rav Ram Kamatrim Iri, good eyes also synonymous with unbounded generosity, which is linked into Chesed. Pointed out by Magen Avos, Avram's magnanimity is well documented. He offered food and drinks to welfare, gave charity. When he purchased the cave of Machpelah, he not only agreed to an exorbitant price, pointed out by Magen Avos, but paid with gold contrin coins, a form of currency that was accepted in all countries, hence more valuable to the seller than local currency. And see Machsevich and Bereshis Rabbah. The charitable nature extends beyond philanthropy to include a generosity of spirit. One with a good eye is neither jealous of his fellow's honor nor resentful of it. In fact, he treats it as dearly as he would his own, pointed out by Rashi and Rav Bachya. A humble spirit, the second attribute is that of exceeding humility, pointed out by Rashi and Rav Bachya. When greeting guests, Avram self-effacingly referred to himself as their servant, even though they appeared to be commoners, see Genesis and Magen Avos. He also declared that I am but dust and ashes. Rav Ramam commentary Machsevich Meiri Magen Avos points this out, and later introducing himself to the people of Chet, from who he was going to get the cave of Machpelah, he wrote to himself as an alien among whom, even though he was the rightful owner of the land of Israel, as given to my God. Pointed out by Machsevich Magen Avos, a reserved nature. This final attribute, which divines the student of Abraham, is his cautious avoidance of physical pleasures. Abraham exemplified his high standard for when he was about to enter the land of Egypt. He said to Sarah, "Now I know you're a woman of a beautiful appearance," indicating that up to this point, his extreme modesty wouldn't even allow him to gaze upon and fully appreciate the beauty of his own wife. Pointed by Rav Magen Avos and Rambam commentary Meiri, Rashi Maharsha. And this also was an example where he did this when it came to Hagar. You know, he was supposed to send away Hagar, but it really greatly distressed him. Lest one presume that Avram derived any enjoyment for his physical relationship with Hagar would therefore be pained over the loss, the verse testifies his sole concern was for Ishmael, and he was very aggrieved to do so. You know, he gave them a lot of belongings for the road, and it still wasn't enough, and he did not want to do so, but he did so because his wife and Hashem commanded him to do so. So those are the students of Avram. Whoever possesses the above three traits is considered a student, a follower of Avraham. And now they move over to Bilam. So evil eye represents the polar opposite of a good eye and describes one who's eager to profit from the largest of others. Even though Bilam knew that God did not want him to go and curse the Jews, he went anyway with the hope of soliciting a hefty fee for services, as revealed by a statement in the story. He reasoned that, surely deserving of all this wealth, as he said, that Bullock would have to hire a lot of people to defeat the Jewish people, and even then he's not sure if he would, but I certainly will be victorious. So this is the opposite. He was very, very arrogant and very greedy. He had the haughty spirit. In contrast to the overwhelming humility of Avram, Bilam was extremely conceited. When Bullock first sent officers to him, he said, "Go to your land. I want people of higher standing than that." Bullock understood Bilam well, for he kept on sending officers more and higher ranking than these. Then in delivering his later address, Bilam described himself in pompous terms. Very haughty, very arrogant. And an indulgent nature, in contrast to Avram's reserve, Bilam's indulgent nature was his penchant for excessive physical pleasures, even to the point of being with his own donkey. That's talked about in Sanhedrin. Most people don't know that. This aspect of his nature was demonstrated by the counsel he gave to Balak, urging the Moabite woman to seduce the Jewish men. Had he not been steeped in such immoral behavior himself, he never would have advised others to do the same, for man's advice is reflective of his mindset, pointed out by Rambam commentary and what's seen in Proverbs. Also, Bilam, he was very into the money. We see that he says, "I want all this silver and gold, if you give me a whole house of silver and gold." So we see that he really is steeped in the greedy and the arrogant and the haughtiness. So among the students, whoever possessed the above three traits is considered a student, a follower of Bilam. So what's the difference between them? It's a rhetorical question to introduce the next passage, which will illustrate the practical difference in terms of reward and punishment between the two disparate lifestyles. One who follows Avram will have the world to come, and one who doesn't will be punished. So students of Avram get the next world. Those who follow Avram are destined to receive a twofold reward. In the present physical world, they will benefit from the interest which accrues from the spiritual investment, while the principal will be preserved for the enjoying the world to come, as Rashi points out. And that's what the verse points out, that if they follow Avram, they do the Torah, they do good things, they will have storehouses in the present world and in the world to come. And then those for Bilam, they will inherit Gehenna. Gehenna and the well of destruction are both synonymous for the place where the wicked are punished for their misdeeds, point out Meiri and Magen Avos. And then that's where the proof verse comes from, that showing that's what's going to happen if you don't follow the right way. A man's lifespan is 70 years. The verse predicts that men of bloodshed and deceit are destined to die before they reach the midpoint of their lives at 35 years of age. Indeed, Bilam did not live out half his days. We're told in the Chronicle of Bilam that he was lame when he was 33 years old, he was killed by Pinchas, the army commander, the one who was zealous. Pinchas is about zealotry. And therefore, we should learn to be, as much as possible, to be like Avraham Avinu, who was generous and humble and had a good eye and a humble spirit as much as possible, and following his ways to do chesed, to make the world a better place as much as possible. Join us next time as we talk about being bold as a namir and swift as an eagle, different adjectives relating to different animals in this world, here on the PAL with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.